Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, students. This is Mr. Mark Nunnally. Want to welcome you to the ethics class for the SMB Tech School. Ethics in the Workplace will be the textbook that we will be utilizing. And today we will get started in regards to Chapter 1, Welcome to Ethics. Of course, the chapter goals for Chapter 1 are being able to do three things and three things specifically. First, to explain basic ethical terms. Second, to evaluate various sources of ethical beliefs. And then lastly, to explain what makes ethics different from other standards of behavior. You will be receiving an email with the syllabus, which will also guide you and give you some direction as far as this particular class over the next 5 weeks and the expectations. For every class, there will be a quiz. There will be a quiz. And when I receive that quiz from you, then I also know that you have also listened to the show and listened to the particular class that needed to be listened to for that particular week. Okay. Once again, this is a 5-week course. And when you get your syllabus, you will find that it is pretty much straightforward. Everything here is going to be graded appropriately by way as it is stated within the syllabus. Most of you already have a syllabus from me of some sort. You will be able to utilize that today if need be for a guide. However, once this show is over, I will be sure to have that emailed to you along with today's quiz. Okay? Your quiz will always be due Tuesday evening by 11:59 in the p.m. Once again, your quizzes will always be due by 11:59 in the p.m. And that information will also be emailed to you so that you will have a copy of that and know exactly what the expectation is. Okay? All right. Well, getting back into it, as far as this whole notion of ethics is concerned, first and foremost, let's probably get into a little discussion of some key terms and concepts that we'll be utilizing for this particular chapter, Chapter 1, Welcome to Ethics. And you will be able to read along with me in your textbook, if need be, on page 2, the beginning of Chapter 1. I would like for everybody to make sure that they make themselves aware of the key terms and concepts as well as the chapter goals that are listed on page 2. They are very important moving forward for us to be able to accomplish the quiz. And moving into the discussion just a little bit farther than what we have, just to speak on ethics and what ethics is, of course, we would be able to say that ethics is the study of the morality of human conduct. That is to say, what is considered right or wrong, good or bad. Past that, we have the notion of morality, which refers to human behavior that can be evaluated in terms of right and wrong. And then we also come to that of ethical issues, which are simply topics that raise moral concerns. These moral concerns then work themselves to a particular point of being ethical principles, which are the general guidelines by which people should live. People tend to base their ethical beliefs on some combination of the following sources: authority, culture, intuition, and reason. We could say that those are four possible sources of ethical beliefs. The standard of ethics tends to be more serious in nature than the standard of etiquette. While the standard of law can also be quite serious, it is based on authority. So in contrast, the standard of ethics is based on reason and logical thinking. Once again, the standard of ethics is based on reason and logical thinking. Therefore, if we were to discuss What are two key criticisms of ethics that are described in this particular chapter, chapter one, Welcome to Ethics? Then we can surely say two things in regards to that. We could say that two criticisms of ethics would be that of relativism and legalism. That of relativism and legalism. Now, you may be asking exactly what is relativism and what is legalism. If you look on page 7 in your textbook, you'll find a particular section that is titled Do Right and Wrong Exist. Well, do the concepts of moral right and wrong really exist? Some people argue that the ideas have been social inventions to control people's behavior. That point of view asserts that right and wrong are little more than emotional reactions or religious assumptions or even social agreements. That skepticism is often based on two arguments and two arguments alone. The first of these arguments would be relativism, and the second of these arguments would be legalism. When we speak in terms of relativism, we can state that that is simply the belief that because ethical beliefs vary so widely, there can be no universal ethical principles that apply to everyone. After all, no two individuals, societies, or religions agree completely on what is right or wrong. Therefore, if a set of moral guidelines did exist for all people, wouldn't it seem logical that everyone could agree on what those guidelines are? Since everyone does not agree, the argument continues that moral right and wrong cannot be anything more than personal opinion. Now, the problem with that criticism of ethics is that people do agree at least most of the time. It may not seem to be the case since people tend to focus more on their differences than their similarities. However, if you really think about it, how many people would argue that robbing and assaulting people are morally right? Even the people who do things know that they shouldn't. Or how many people believe that helping others, standing up for the truth in a difficult situation, is wrong? The truth is that most people agree about the vast majority of life's ethical questions. However, it is the ethical question that people disagree about that seem to get more press. Now, in regards to the second criticism of ethics, we would be speaking in terms of legalism. Therefore, to say legalism simply is a belief that because there are laws and policies to cover issues of right and wrong, ethics is irrelevant. It's not necessary to discuss whether people should be allowed to smoke marijuana because doing so is illegal. If an action is illegal, it must be wrong. And if someone isn't sure whether an action is right or wrong, all he or she has to do is find out what the law says. You may already understand that this problem is based on a fundamental misunderstanding about law and ethics. And yes, societies write laws to back up and formalize their ethical values and beliefs, but the laws don't take place of those beliefs. They only reinforce them. And at times, the laws don't even do that. Sometimes societies discover that their laws are actually in conflict with their ethical values. That's what happened when Americans decided that laws allowing slavery, the second-class status of women, or even harmful child labor practices and discriminations of all kinds had to be changed. Legal is not the same as ethical. In fact, the ethical standard is higher, as you will see later within this particular discussion. So now that we have that out of the way, well, let's first and foremost talk about what is ethics and what is morality and what do they mean. Well, when we speak in regards to ethics, we, of course, are talking about a subfield of philosophy that studies the morality of human conduct. That is, what is considered to be right or wrong, good or bad. So therefore, once again, in a nutshell, ethics is simply what society refers to be right or wrong, and based off of these right and wrongs, what is also good and bad. Now, when we discuss morality, then we're referring to that part of the human behavior that can be evaluated in terms of right and wrong. Technically speaking, then, ethics is the study of morality. However, in practical usage, the words ethical and morale are used to describe actions that are considered to be good or right, while the words unethical and immoral are used to describe actions that are considered to be bad or wrong. So, for instance, to have someone who has murdered a person has done something that is not ethical by way of society standards, but rather unethical of society standards. And for someone who has forced rape upon a woman or even that of a man, has not completed an act that can be seen as a moral act, but rather an act that could be seen as immoral. Therefore, when we discuss right and wrong and the fact of them existing in the world of ethics and how they are supported within also the subworld of morality, then we will find ourselves leading to that particular discussion of relativism or legalism. So when we speak once again of relativism, we're speaking in regards to a belief. And this particular belief is because ethical beliefs, they vary so widely. Legalism is a belief that because there are laws and policies to cover particular issues of right and wrong, that ethics is irrelevant. Let me state at this particular point that ethics will pretty much always be relevant. Once again, ethics will pretty much always be relevant. This is because ethical principles, which are general statements of how people should or should not act, are principles that are often the reasons behind a person's actions, thoughts, and beliefs. Do understand that those principles are often described as being universal, meaning that rational people thinking logically would have to agree that everyone should follow them. And a popular universal ethical principle is known as, and you might have heard this in many occasions, the golden rule, as to where you should treat others as you would want to be treated. Other common principles along this line would include such things as people should respect the rights of others, or that people should keep their promises. Also, people should be honest. People should take responsibility for their actions. People should act in the best interests of others. People should help others in need when possible. People should be fair. One ethical principle that I found out about was actually an ethical principle based on this particular fact, that you should not should on other people. Once again, that you should not should on other people. I'm pretty sure that you would see that maybe in some different ways, but just to clarify what I mean when I say that and speak in regards to ethical principles that could be found as universal, there are folks who feel as if you, at any particular point, should not exactly be able to say what another person should do. Of course, in the study of sociology, as we have found a little earlier last week, I'm sorry, not last week, but last semester in the course of sociology, we do have expectations all the time and also rules and norms that form these particular general expectations. If not in your particular city where you live at, in your particular town, then in your particular country, and then could also be a worldwide thought. Once again, murder, wherever you would go, could be considered as an immoral and unethical act, something that should not be done. However, as we know, people are doing this every day. People are doing this every day. So, in regards to other ethical issues, which are topics or actions that raise questions of right and wrong. The examples could include stealing, cheating, lying, and driving drunk. But those behaviors don't raise very difficult questions. Or do they? If they are honest with themselves, even thieves, cheaters, liars, and drunk drivers know that their actions, for the most part, are usually bad or wrong. Now, other ethical issues are more difficult and require more thought and analysis. Some people argue that everything on the Internet, including commercially recorded music, movies, and television shows, should be available for free for anyone who wants to download them. That idealistic view of a free and open exchange of art sounds wonderful until you put yourself in the shoes of the artist who created the works. Now, why would people invest millions of dollars in creating music or films if they knew that they would never get their money back, much less make a profit? Now, while it sounds nice on the surface, a policy of free art for all might actually mean the end of quality works of music and film that so many people enjoy. That is to say that there is a particular value placed on things that we consider to be ethical. There is a particular value placed on things that are considered to be ethical. In light of that, to give you a real-world ethics example, in 1963, Martin Luther King Jr. went to Birmingham, Alabama, to make a speech on civil rights. And in an attempt to prevent him from making that speech, city leaders announced that anyone making a public speech would have to get a special permit from City Hall. Dr. King's request for a permit was denied, but Dr. King decided that such permit laws violated people's basic human and constitutional right to freedom of speech. He made his speech anyway and consequently was arrested. While in jail, Dr. King wrote one of the greatest essays in civil rights literature, his Letter from Birmingham Jail. And in the essay, Dr. King pointed out many laws that are just ethically right and should be obeyed by everyone, but laws can also be unjust, which is to say ethically wrong. Unjust laws must be disobeyed, so what makes a law unjust in the first place? Laws are unjust when they are not consistent with universal ethical principles. They are also unjust when they degrade people, or when they are imposed on minority groups but are not intended to apply for everyone. Laws are also unjust when they are imposed on groups that are not allowed to vote, are not allowed to have a voice in laws that they are required to follow. Sometimes just laws can be used in unjust ways. What do you think about Dr. King's explanation of unjust laws? What are some of the examples of laws in American history that would qualify as being unjust? In thinking of that particular point and those particular questions, we would not possibly be able to answer those two questions without being able to inject the use of such words and terms as ethics, morality, ethical issues, and universal ethical principles. What do you think about Dr. King's explanation of unjust laws? Was it ethical? Did it involve a morality that kept sight of ethical issues as well as universal ethical principles? Are there some examples of laws in American history that would qualify as unjust because of their ethical value, because of being something that could not be found or seen as being morally correct? Could we say that some of the laws in American history that would qualify as unjust, such as the one that was made to permit Dr. King not to be able to speak and give a speech, could we say that that is, in fact, ethical, or that there are ethical issues that would prevent that particular situation from being something that can be considered as a universal ethical principle to prevent prevent a man such as Dr. Martin Luther King from giving a speech as such? This particular questions that I'm asking at this particular moment are all questions that relate to ethics and morality. And at this point, you can now see that you have known what ethics and morality is for mostly all of your life since at least the ages of 6 or 7. You have been able to find that relativism and legalism are things that have been working before you for all your life. Relativism, once again, are strictly those particular beliefs that are governed more so by society and people than they are by laws and government. However, legalism are ethical points which are more so supported by that of the government and laws that are made in this country. But as we have also stated, it is usually up to an individual and their ethical and moral compass to be able to state what is and is not wrong, what is and is not right, what is and is not good, and also what is and is not bad. At this particular point, I would like for you to be able to turn in your textbooks to page 11 as to where we focus on the sources of ethical beliefs. The sources of ethical beliefs. Since it seems reasonable to assume that moral right and wrong do exist in some form, where do people get the ethical principles and values that support their beliefs in the first place? Some principles are the result of lessons taught at home or in school or even in religious training, while other principles are the result of individual life experiences. For instance, children who grow up in violent neighborhoods may have different principles and beliefs than children who grow up in sheltered neighborhoods that shelter them from such dangers. Some people acquire their principles from messages that society sends through television or even music, magazines, and books. And in other words, people's principles come from a variety of sources. However, writer and philosopher Richard Dawes has pointed out that some sources are more influential than others. And when asked where they acquire their beliefs about an ethical issue, most people tend to identify one or more of the following sources. A source such as that of authority, a source such as that of culture, a source such as that of intuition, or even a source such as that has reason. And of course, these four sources are four sources that vary very much from one to another, but also come into play to make up one another in many different ways. For example, we usually do not have a culture which would not have any notions of not having authority within it. We would not have any intuition if it were not for the ability to be able to reason. Therefore, being that most people do have an intuition which allows them to be able to reason, within most cultures, the authority has taken that to be something that it needs to be adhered to at all particular times. Now, you might be asking, well, when you say authority, what do you mean exactly? Well, according to authority, an action is right or wrong because someone important said so. Now, this way of thinking is often seen in religious ethics, but other moral authorities in history have included political leaders, for example, monarchs, monarchy, which is kings or queens. When people say stealing is morally wrong because God forbids it, or stealing is wrong because the government has made it illegal, they are pretty much relying on authority. Now, when we speak in regards of culture, which is another source of ethical beliefs, then we are also speaking in regards to the idea that morality of an action depends on the beliefs of one's culture or nation. This approach says that culture and nations, like individuals, have different values and principles based on their different experiences in history. A belief that works well for one culture may be harmful for another. And because this view assumes that there are no universal moral principles, remember relativism. One logical conclusion would be that no nation or culture is able to judge the moral beliefs or actions of another nation or culture. Another conclusion might be that individuals of one culture cannot rise to a higher level of ethical thinking and living than people of another culture. And if that is true, how do cultures and societies ever improve? Well, to answer that, we will get into the discussion of the third source of ethical beliefs, which is, as stated, intuition. In which intuition is the idea that principles of right and wrong have been built into a person's conscience, and that he or she will know what is right by listening to that little voice within. This reliance on intuition is very common, and people often seem to know instinctively whether actions are right and wrong. But have you noticed how some people's ethical intuitions seem to be confused? Have you ever known someone who was blatantly prejudiced against others because of their skin color or their religion or even their homeland? I'm sure you have. Some people just don't understand. Things that are obviously wrong to everyone else may not seem wrong to them. Consider intuition as being that voice that is in your head which never yells at you. Once again, intuition has the voice in your head that never yells at you. Your intuition is always a calm source of being able to know what and what not to do. Now that we've discussed intuition and how it is a little voice that is in your head, once again, that never yells, then we come to the point of being able to listen to this particular voice. And we would say that listening to that voice is other words known as listening to the voice of reason, which, of course, is the fourth source of ethical beliefs. And when we speak of reason, or even the voice of reason, we're speaking in regards to the idea that consistent logical thinking should be the primary tool used in making ethical decisions. And according to this approach, if stealing is judged to be right and wrong, then should be solid arguments and logical principles that back up that judgment. Once again, if stealing is judged to be wrong, then there should be solid arguments and logical principles that back up that judgment. Maybe we could say laws. Maybe we can even say that of the Ten Commandments. However it is, there is some particular argument or logical principle that backs up a particular judgment. In other words, the arguments against stealing are stronger than the arguments for stealing. With the appeal to reason, an action is not wrong just because an authority says so, just because it is unpopular within a culture, or even just because someone's inner voice warns against it. Instead, this approach suggests that a person look open-mindedly at the arguments on both sides of an issue, then use reason to carefully choose stronger arguments. So at this point, we have come to be able to understand the four particular sources of ethics, which once again are authority, culture, intuition, and reason. Please understand that these particular four sources of ethics are very important to be able to understand ethics. They are also very important in regards to being able to understand standards of behavior. If you look on page 14, you would be able to see that when we discuss standards of behavior, we first and foremost would like to state that a standard is an acceptable level of behavior to which people are expected to conform. The level may be set low, which would be known as a minimum standard, or it may be something that would be in the middle, which could be considered as an average standard, or something that is very high, which would be considered as a standard of excellence. And I am sure that most of you have heard one of these three standards at one time or another in your lifetimes. Whatever the level of all standards involves some kind of expectation. To say that stealing is wrong does not mean that it is wrong for just one person or even for a few people. If stealing is forbidden by social standard, then the assumption is that stealing is wrong for everyone. Certainly, there are ethical issues that are individual and personal too, but ethics often deals with principles that apply to everyone. People's actions can be evaluated according to many standards, but three of the most common standards are those of etiquette, law, and then that of ethics. So let's discuss these particular three standards a little more in depth. The standards of etiquette, law, and ethics. When we speak in regards to the standard of etiquette, we are referring to expectations concerning manners of social graces. Concerning manners or social graces. Societies and cultures have their own rules of etiquette that their members are expected to meet. Most people understand their social etiquette standards and try to live up to them. Thus, a person knows to knock before entering someone else's home and tries to remember to say please and thank you. It is assumed that everyone understands these rules, even though many of them are not written down. Oddly enough, almost everyone knows exactly how loud a burp can be before it is considered rude. People who violate the standards of etiquette run the risk of being embarrassed or of having others look down on them. Some large corporations actually send their employees to etiquette classes. Proper manners are that important to the company image. In a crowded, busy, and stressed society, etiquette also reduces social friction and makes it easier for people to live together as a community. But there is an important difference between the standards of etiquette and ethics. That difference is seriousness. The issue covered by the standard of etiquette are not as serious as those that pertain to ethics. People rarely die due to poor manners, but the ethical standard applies to many life and death issues such as abortion, euthanasia, war, capital punishment, and AIDS. So even ethical issues that are not associated with death, such as censorship, honesty in government, and sexual ethics, still have serious implications within our society. Now, in speaking of the next standard, which is the standard of law, then we are speaking of things that has to do with rules of behavior imposed on people by governments. Like ethics, this legal standard could be serious too. After all, many laws deal with life and death issues, including rules forbidding murder, drunken driving, drug use, and child abuse. Yet while legal and ethical standards are serious, there is an important difference: validity. What makes a law valid, or that is to say, what gives it legal force? And is it something that is different from what makes an ethical principle or judgment valid? Have you ever wondered what makes a law valid? Let's use some critical thinking skills to find that answer together. Assume that the speed limit in the front of your house is 25 miles per hour. What might make that law valid? Now remember, you aren't just looking at this one law. You want to discover the factor that makes all laws valid. You will find in your book on page 15, at the bottom of page 15, some particular answers for that particular question that we just looked at. Please make sure that you look at that particular table of answers and solutions for that particular question, and include in your email for your quiz if any of that needs to be understood a little further. And I would do my best to make sure. But I think that at the bottom of page 15, in regards to the standard of law, they have made these particular situations something that could be easier to understand in regards to that question of a 25-mile-per-hour speed limit being posted in front of your house and what exactly would make that a valid law. Now, being that we have discussed the standard of etiquette as well as the standard of law, we have one more standard to be able to discuss. One more standard to be able to discuss. and that would be the standard of ethics. The standard of ethics refers to social expectations of people's moral behavior. The ethical principles and rules making up this standard are made valid by reasons and arguments which support them. Therefore, if you stated the death penalty is morally wrong, what you're really saying is that reasons and arguments supporting that statement make more logical sense than the reasons and arguments on the other side of the debate. Authority is not the issue. For ethical statements to be valid, they must first make logical sense. Because of that crucial difference, legal standards and moral standards do not always agree. As a result, actions can be described in four basic ways: as legally and morally right, as legally wrong but morally right, as legally right but morally wrong, or legally and morally wrong. Once again, four ways in which we can describe most legal standards and moral standards and how they do not always agree would be that of being able to understand that they could be legally and morally right, legally wrong but morally right, legally right but morally wrong, or legally and morally wrong. As a result, people sometimes have to choose between obeying the law and doing what they believe is morally right. Many people in history have gone to prison and even to their deaths rather than to violate their ethical beliefs and principles. Another difference between legal and ethical standards is that legal standards, which are based on authority, may change as authorities change. But ethical standards, which are based on reason, change only when new information causes people thinking about the standards to change. Also, a legal standard discourages people from questioning and challenging it. And since those actions are often perceived as threats to authority, on the other hand, an ethical standard requires the honest questioning and challenging that comes with independent thinking. For that is the only way a society can continue to learn and find better answers. Well, you will find on page 18, at the bottom of page 18, a summary for this particular chapter of chapter 1. Please be sure that you look over that particular summary and read it in its entirety, because it is, once again, a summary of Chapter 1 and will help you to better understand Chapter 1 in a nutshell. The summary states, ethics is the study of morality, of human conduct, what is considered right or wrong, good or bad. And morality refers to human behavior that can be evaluated in terms of right and wrong. Ethical issues are topics that raise moral concerns. Ethical principles are the general guidelines by which people should live. People tend to base their ethical beliefs on some combination of the following sources that we just mentioned, which were authority, culture, intuition, and reason. The standard of ethics tends to be more serious in nature than the standard of etiquette. And while the standard of law can also be quite serious, it is based on authority. In contrast, the standard of ethics is based on reason and logical thinking. This concludes our particular class discussing Chapter 1, Welcome to Ethics. In regards to making sure that we have understood exactly what is going on within the particular Chapter 1, Welcome to Ethics, I would like for you to complete the following assessments that you would find on pages 19 and also on page 20. You will find those particular assessments to be that of vocabulary builder, which involves you having to define 15 terms found in Chapter 1, and also reinforcement, which is where you are able to give answers for four questions that relate to ethics and morality. Once again, page 19 and page 20 of Chapter 1 should be completed at this particular time before you hand in your quiz. If you have any questions in regards to anything mentioned in the class today, please do not hesitate to send an email to the following email address. The School of Real Ish, spelled ISH at gmail.com. Once again, the email that you will send any questions to regarding this class would be the School of Real Ish at gmail.com. That whole email is spelled THEREALSCHOOLISH at gmail.com. You will find in the email that I send to you directions for exactly when your work is to be turned in. You will also have stated at the beginning of this class, find your syllabus and your guide to give you direction for the next 5 weeks of this class. Thank you for listening. I hope that today was something that promoted more than just a lesson and something to complete for school, but being that, as we have discussed, ethics and morals are something that are a part of our world day in and day out. You will experience them from this point on to the moment you lay your head on your pillow. That something has been important enough to stick with you and that you've learned something that has made a difference for your life today. I thank you for being a student who is ready to complete your work in an effective manner. And please understand that as your teacher, as your instructor, I am here to do my best and not my worst. And to please send any questions at any time that you would need to the email theschoolofrealish@gmail.com. Please continue to have a great, wonderful, and fabulous weekend. And I expect to be grading 100 papers come this Tuesday evening. Have a great weekend once again. And I'll see you the next time.